Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. We are in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, very famous verse. Let me read it to you from the New King James. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is part of a greater set of verses than just the 8th verse. Stretching back into verse 6, let's read 6, 7, and 8 together. When we were still without strength, and at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Up until the 8th verse, we've been talking about Jesus' death for ungodly people, but we have not been talking about it through the lens of love. Paul says a righteous man, and again, what I said yesterday, I think he's equating this with a Pharisee. He says, nope, not many people is going to die for that. Good man, someone who's good to other people, you might get someone occasionally to die for that. But ungodly people, what would cause a man to die for an ungodly man? He's not righteous, he's not pious, he's not good. What would cause you to die for that? The only definition, the only thing Paul can think of, and I think he nails it because he nails the heartbeat of the New Testament, is God dies for the ungodly to demonstrate what love looks like. Because for the righteous man, maybe, for the good man, perhaps, but for the ungodly, forget it. You're going to have to love them. It's going to have to be a love. In our society, we say a face only a mother could love. Well, God, showing motherly love, loves the world in a way so powerful that the cross becomes the external demonstration. In fact, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His own love toward us. That Greek word that Paul uses there that we translate demonstrate, the old King James says manifest, but the Greek really is more, in our lingo, to put something on display, to display the goods. So I like to look at the cross as the window dressing of the house of God. It's God, because in a store, a retail store, if you have a glass front on the street, you put your goods in that window so that people will see it and want to come inside. So you put something in that window that makes people want to know more. And that's sort of the word as it comes out in the Greek. God demonstrates, God manifests, God puts on display His love by dying for us. So the cross is sort of the window dressing of the heart of God. You see what Jesus has done. That demonstration of love is so great, it makes you want to come through the door. So the cross is really the drawing power of the gospel. When we show people that Jesus has died on their behalf, we're muddying the waters a little bit right now, I think, in the church. I've noticed there's a lot of bickering over what the cross meant. Jesus, and we're getting into these social media verbal wars of the cross, and then one guy will post his video, and one person will post their video and say, no, here's what the cross was. Stop saying the cross was about this. The cross wasn't about that. You're making God look bad. Paul doesn't get into all those arguments. He just says, look, it's God showing you that He loves you. And so instead of approaching the cross as it was only this, it was only that, don't say it was this, you got to say it was that, rather than what if it's all of the above? What if the cross is not just this or just that, but it's all the above? It's punishment against sin. It's the wrath of God being poured out. It's Christ in your place. It's Christ on your behalf. It's Christ as victor. Why can they not be all of them? And you say, well, because it's got to be one way or the other. And I don't really agree with that. It's not got to be one way or the other. Paul doesn't say that God's displaying how mad He was at sin. He doesn't say God's displaying His wrath. God's displaying No, he says God's displaying his love. So as long as the cross never stops being a symbol of how much God loves humanity, then all the other stuff is peripheral argument. Was God dying? Was God killing Jesus? Was man killing Jesus? And I do have strong opinions about some of these things. I'll be honest. I don't think God was killing Jesus. Peter doesn't accuse God of killing Jesus in Acts 2 and 3. He accuses the Jews and the Romans. He said, "You crucified the Lord of glory." He doesn't say God did it. Yet they come to realize, as the New Testament unfurls, that there was something happening at Calvary and that the Holy Spirit was involved. It's why Paul would say in Romans that he, through the eternal Spirit, offered up himself. So, I think it's Hebrews, actually. So the demonstration or the display of God's love comes through the cross. And then, go back to verse 8, Romans 5, 8. God demonstrates his own love towards sin that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why is it a demonstration of love, and rather, why should you point out that it's while we're still sinners? Because he previously said you might get someone to die for a righteous man, you might get even more to die for a good man, but you're not going to get anybody to die for sinners. There's going to have to be some sort of paternal love. That's why you'll see a mom crying at the execution of their son on death row. And she loves him. She doesn't want him to die. By the standards of the law, he deserves it, but she doesn't want it because she sees something no one else sees. You probably never get a greater picture of the love of God than in that room when that mom's crying over that son. And she wants him as her own. And that's the Father for us, pointing out that it's over a bunch of sinners. Let us never, ever make light of or lessen the magnitude of the love of God. What an awesome, awesome thing. I hope that today, as you go about your business, or as you fall asleep tonight as you're listening to this, whatever, whenever you are listening, I hope that you are overwhelmed by the awesome love of God. Oh, how he loves you and me. I hope you have a great day, great rest. And until tomorrow, when we'll move right on into the next verse, verse 9 of Romans 5, we say grace and peace to you. God bless. We'll see you then.